It's Friday, June 19th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're going to catch up with some recent sermons from Pastor Chris, including his current selected text series. We're in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, looking at verses 12 through 17, with a message titled, Real Servants.
Anyone in this for some time knows it's wearing and it's difficult, and there's a lot of warfare involved in it in ways that we never expect. And this is where I think Paul does one of the most important things to help all servants in the service of the Lord. He wants to stir it up.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 17. I'll read through verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. As we consider the offices this morning through this installation. And I want you to notice here, the bar is indeed set high. I remind us always, we wouldn't expect anything less from our Lord because he cares about you, his people. And in light of all of the corruption we've seen over time in the church, you see how important these sort of commandments and these perspectives are in the pastoral epistles, which really are given to guide all pastoral ministry. And so it's important. We've never really gone through a book. I think we should at some point, but to look at all this instruction given for office bearers and see it through the lens of the whole service in the kingdom of God for the people of the Lord is important so that you have a greater appreciation of what the design of ministry is, that those undertaking this office would do it with right prayerful motivations and perspectives, and that we'd be given all grace that we might in this place be strengthened up as the body of Christ. And so verse 12 this morning, let's give our attention to the word of the Lord from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may not learn to blaspheme. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Well, that passage is a very important passage to begin what we call here the pastoral epistles. It gets right to down to the most important issues right at the beginning. And what we have described as we anticipate installation this morning is what makes for the most effective leaders and servants in the kingdom of God. I don't say that lightly. This really does capture what makes for the most effective leaders and servants in the kingdom of God. What would you think that might be? We might have a long list, and we might have different ideas of what that might be, but this puts everything into perspective right from the beginning of the little pastoral epistle here of Timothy. And I believe it gets to the motivation of all service in the kingdom of God and what that motivation is and why it's so important to have that. Why do we do what we do? Why do we give ourselves in the service of the Lord? And this is important for installing new leaders and encouraging those in office today. And as I said, to be a blessing to the whole congregation to understand this great noble calling, but to also appreciate this in terms of all service in the kingdom of the Lord. These principles apply across the board. We have to remember the goal of what we are attempting to accomplish in this. Seems to me very important to always set that in front of us. What are we trying to accomplish in the service of the Lord? What do we think that is? Is it just for elders to ensure that we are conflict-free and that everything goes well and there are no problems? The maintenance of the office? Is it just for deacons to think that this is just about managing money? Is that how you perceive this? You see, if we don't appreciate the aim of all service, then in simple terms, it will never really promote the health of the body that these offices are intended to accomplish. We will see it in a series here that are, I think, in office, if we miss this, that what we will view these offices are as is a series of obligations simply to try to manage. And that's not at all what these offices are intended to be. In other words, the things that we value, how we give ourselves to the service of the Lord, especially when I'm thinking here of leaders, has a direct bearing on the life of the congregation. I don't think we think enough about that connection. It's how leadership works. So the leaders, so the people. I think you see this in political leading all the time. The people become very similar and at times very much like the person in charge. The church will only be as strong as its leadership in this regard. And the example and the value then that we give to all service in the kingdom of God has a direct bearing on the spiritual vitality of the church itself. If you ever look at dying churches, you can notice things that are inevitably clear and evident for the reasons that they are dying. And one of those is that the service and the servants in charge are drastically doing an insufficient job in the shepherding of the people. In fact, if you think about it, service can just become sort of flat and mundane and empty and a boring duty. It really can. The challenges, the difficulties, the hardships, the afflictions can take the joy out of the office. And so I think it's important to step back and look at Paul's perspective on ministry. It's always important to sort of be recharged in a way as to what this is. This is what Paul's often doing, especially with his sort of young protege, Timothy, to help him understand the office in light of the hardships and difficulties that he was facing, that he would be an effective officer in Christ's church and strive for the goal of what this is indeed all about. And so Paul's using himself here as an example. Paul does this. Paul uses himself as an example, even his testimony, to help Timothy in perspective on the office. Sometimes we react against personal testimonies and they can go out of hand. Paul doesn't go out of hand, but he indeed gives one here. And he gives an important one. His perspective that Paul gives in three ways is a perspective on all service in the kingdom of God, and then a perspective on himself in the kingdom of God, and then his perspective on the purpose of all service in the kingdom of God. So there you have the sort of three points that I think outline what he is doing here in this first chapter. And Paul is really helpful here because he is going after the heart of all service. Paul knows what can happen in the attitude toward the Lord's service through conflict and struggle and difficulty. It just wears people out. There's a reason he begins the second here letter to Timothy with these words. Timothy says, "For this reason, I remind you Listen to this language. To fan into flame the gift of God. You have to kind of let that set in. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. How does that work together? Suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Fan the flame, Timothy. Anyone in this for some time knows it's wearing and it's difficult, and there's a lot of warfare involved in it in ways that we never expect. And this is where I think Paul does one of the most important things to help all servants in the service of the Lord. He wants to stir it up. He wants to revitalize. He wants to fan into flame the gift of God. How do you do that? How do you resurrect in people to be about the service of the Lord, to give their hearts to it? To give their hearts to it, especially with all the other responsibilities that we have in life. It has everything to do, as we look at this first chapter of Timothy, with a perspective on the calling itself. It's not just, we might say, obligations. You have obligations. No, it's the calling of God himself on your life. It's a beautiful thing to say that. I want you to notice verse 12 here as we begin this section. I thank him who has given me strength. So if we think it's overbearing or there's much involved or there's lots of duty, this strength, notice, he has given me strength. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to this service. Paul is saying something important there, isn't he? Immensely important for all service. I think that's a somewhat shocking statement to us when we first look at it, because we read that he judged me faithful. We might stand back from that and say, Paul, faithful? We might even read that and think that Paul thought himself worthy of this. And I think a lot of people look at the Christian office that way. Offices in the church, that this is about worthiness. Paul is saying something very, very pointed here and very clear, that my worthiness comes from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he counted me faithful. Because of the grace that's been given to me and the strength that's been given to me. And I want you to notice here how he says it. I don't want you to miss it. At the heart of the calling of God in all service in his kingdom is an astonishment that God would put us into this. I think I have to let that set in. An astonishment that God would do this. Are you astonished that you're able to serve in the kingdom? That's Paul here. It's a sense that this is one of the greatest blessings to be able to serve in the Lord's kingdom, the King. Everyone has a vocation in life that is extremely important, where God has called you and God has given you a calling, and whatever vocation that is extremely important because God called you to that, that you may do it whether you eat or drink for the glory of the Lord. But we're focusing here on the noble calling of leadership in the kingdom of God. This whole attitude of astonishment is what begins Paul in his pastoral epistles. Astonishment. And that astonishment led him to an overwhelmingly thankful heart for being able to serve. See the difficulties and the conflicts and the weariness, you know, you forget the most important things. That's just life. You can look back over the course of your life, and the things that you were excited about yesterday, you're not today. Why? Because of weariness, because of difficulty. Someone once said to me, the ministry would be great if it weren't for all the people. And I said, he said, difficult people. And I said, why do you think you're not one of them? Right? This is the challenge. It's as if Paul says, I'm thrilled that he would use me like this at all. I can hardly believe it. It is the greatest privilege to serve the King of heaven and earth and the people whom he chose through the work of the Son that Jesus died for. That's his perspective. Now, I trust you see why it would be important to have that for ministry, why that would be how you would think about fanning the flame a little bit of this. You cannot properly serve God in anything without that kind of perspective. You decided to put me into this? And see, right up front, we're confronted with sovereignty. We're confronted with divine selection. We're confronted with choice that he made concerning us. You could apply this in many ways to all the callings in the kingdom of God, whether it's the Sunday school teacher helping in the nursery, whatever it would be, to see service this way. Imagine what that'll do. I want each of you to think about this for a minute personally, and it's exactly why he calls Timothy himself to stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. Do you think anyone in church office without this kind of perspective will have any energy for it? Without it, it just becomes something to do. Without it, it becomes something to get through. It's rotation. Or we do it for the wrong reasons. It becomes heartless. And then we approach it without any real reliance upon him for what he says, the strength that God gives in it. In other words, if there's no recognition of this from the beginning of all service, if there's no recognition of the stirring up of the great privilege it is that God would put us into this, the astonishment of it, then we will never really rest on him for the strength to do it well. If God would take me and put me into this, what does that produce? If I have that perspective, reliance to do it for his glory and reliance upon him for the strength to serve his people. It's Isaiah, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And that drives the pastoral epistles. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? To be effective, then, in the service of the Lord, there has to be a humble recognition that God did a wonderful thing for you, brothers. God did a wonderful thing for you. That's the starting point. To serve the King of heaven and earth and the people whom he loves. That echoes Psalm 84. I count it to be a great privilege to be just a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. If that's my calling, what a privilege than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, what would produce the contrary attitude? It would be one that looks at all hardship and difficulty of the office as a burden and someone who really doesn't want to do it, because there's little recognition of the intense and privilege of it and what God has done. Paul says, I'm thankful to the Lord for the service. Do the people who do nothing in the kingdom of God, think about this, the people who do absolutely nothing in the kingdom of God have this perspective about life? No. It's not there. What makes for this kind of heart? That's the great question, I think. How do you stir up the fan, the flame of this gift? Well, you have to go back to something, and I think this gives us that answer so beautifully. You have to go back to something that is absolutely crucial for every leader. This is what I'm about to describe makes for the most effective servants in the kingdom of God. Paul says, I want you to consider what God did for me personally. Personally. You have to appreciate that by grace, this great point for all of you, that you even became a Christian to begin with. Did you hear me? That you even became a Christian to begin with. That's what is the starting point for a great servant. Astonishment. Listen to what he says. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Do you know what I used to be, he says? Do you know what I was? I didn't then. I didn't even know. I was so blinded, I didn't even know. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, arrogant. I was completely blind in my former life. Paul was the chief persecutor in the early church in the first century. At its inception, you remember in Acts, Paul was, this is quote, ravaging the church. Entering house to house as he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. And he breathed murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. And he says this in one of his testimonies, I not only locked many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme, and in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And you know, he was the one who laid his cloak down, remember. And remember, he was the one there, chiefly responsible for the stoning of Stephen, always on him. Now, can you imagine that burden to carry? On all accounts, I'm not sure if Lyle Faber had done that, I'd want to put him up for office. We would say such a person should never be in church office. With such a past like that? The point is important. The most effective servants marvel at what God made them and that he made them Christians to begin with.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.